Parshas Vayetze. Baruch Maboy, welcome everybody. I'd like to look at Ezus Hashem this evening at one of the, I think, less spoken about parshas in this week's Sefer, Parshas Vayetze. And that's the perhaps very difficult to understand, rather cryptic story of Yaakov Avinu and the Makros, the sticks that he set up by the well and the sheep, etc., etc. Now the Torah gives a lot of attention to this. It is discussed quite at length in a couple of places, and therefore clearly the Torah feels that there's plenty to learn from this story, otherwise there's no need for the Torah to write it in the first place, and certainly no necessity to be married. So if there is an arichus, then clearly there's lots to learn. We know how the story begins. If anybody's got a chumash in front of them, it's in Perek Lamed. In Perek Lamed, where Yaakov Avinu, in Posuk Chof Hei, Perek Lamed, Posuk Chof Hei, so that Yaakov says to Rabban, Shalcheini ve'elcha el makorim yola'aretzi. Please send me on my way, let me go, I'd like to return back home with my family. Laban is of course not too pleased, and he realizes that he has been zeicha to much bracha as a result of Yaakov Avinu's presence, and he says so, Vayevorcheini Hashem b'zolecha, and I'd rather that you say, I've been zeicha to a lot of bracha, and it's all in your zechut, and I'm not so keen for you to leave. So he says to Yaakov, I'd rather you stay, and you fix your wage. So in Pasuk Lamed Beis and Pasuk Lamed Gimel, we go into the detail of exactly which sheep will be his, whether they're speckled or spotted or striped, those will be his, and the rest will be Laban's. Fine. That's the deal. So look now in Posuk Lamed Zayin. If you have a chumash in front of you, Perek Lamed, Posuk Lamed Zayin. Again, if we could just request, please, everybody could be muted, please. So in Posuk Lamed Zayin, it says, Vayikach lo Yaakov makal livne lach veluz v'armoy. The Torah goes into great detail exactly what type of stick he took. Livne, which sounds like it was had a whiteness to it. Lach veluz v'armoy. Much detail. Vayefatzel bohem petzolos levonos. And he peeled them. He peeled them machzeif halovon. Now this is very important. What does that mean? Machzeif halovon. He peeled the outermost layer of the stick, as Rashi says, gilui loiven shel makel. As we all know, when you peel the brown outer layer of the stick, you reveal the whiter inner layer. So machzeif halovon means he was megale the loiven. He opens up the whiteness of the stick, asher al hamakloid, and then as we know, he stepped them up by the be'er hamayim, such that when the sheep came to drink from the be'er, they would look at these sticks, and as Rashi and Chazal explain, they would therefore give birth to sheep with those colors. And that way Yaakov became very rich, because that was the deal. Sheep of those shades will be his, and he cleverly managed, it sounds like, to organize that there will be plenty of sheep that would be born with those colors that they had agreed upon. That's all in Perek Lamed. Now, if you move over then to Perek Lamed Aleph, this is referred to once again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Laban, the time has come for you to go. And it says, he says to his wives, Yaakov, as you well know, your father tricked me several times. He changed the deal. And you look in Pasuk Yud, very important, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud. It says there, Vayehi ve'eis yachim hatzoyin, vo'eso einai vo'ere bechaloyin. Says Yaakovino, I had a dream. And in this dream, I see the various shades of sheep. Vayoymer elai malach aloikim, and a malach speaks to me in my dream, and he tells me indeed all of these sheep with the agreed upon shades and colors, they're all yours. So there we have it. The striping, the shading, the speckling of the sheep is mentioned twice, both when it initially was agreed upon between Laban and Yaakov, and then second time round when it's referred to, where Yaakov Avinu tells his wives this is what happened to him when he had this dream. Now, obviously, the first question that comes to mind is, it sounds very strange. How was it permitted for Yaakovino to do something like that in the first place? If there was an agreement that sheep with the following shades would be his, then why was it permissible for him to go and orchestrate events such that, indeed, those sheep would be born? So indeed, this is a question which is dealt with in the Rishonim. And Rabbeinu Bahai says, if you only look at the psukim that we just now mentioned, he was clearly told to do so by the malach in the chalayim. So Rabbeinu Bahai points out, and he says, on the one hand, would we consider this miraculous or non-miraculous? So on one hand, it sounds non-miraculous. Apparently there is some scientific equation that when you put the sticks next to the well, etc., etc., that's the way the sheep would be born. But it's clear, says Rabbeinu Bahai, that there is also an element of miracle to this. That must be because Yaakov Avinu, when he recounts this to his wives, and he says, he goes over the story of the sheep, and he says to his wives, Velekei Ovi Hoyo Imodi, and God was with me. Now, if this is all Alpi Teva, then in what way did he see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help with regard to the sheep? Says Rabbeinu Bahai, you clearly see that although on the one hand this seems to be Alpi Darkei HaTeva, but it is also miraculous. So there was some mix of Teva and Neis. But the bottom line is, it was all done according to instructions from the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Malach who came to speak to him in a chalayim. And he understood full well that Laban was planning to outsmart him and trick him time after time after time. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened in a miraculous fashion to make sure that Laban would not outdo Yaakov. So yes, ultimately, there was certainly an element of miracle over here, and it was that nace that managed to ensure that Laban does not get the last laugh. But it was all orchestrated by the Rabbeinu Shalom. It was instructed to Yaakov in his chalayim. So if we ask ourselves the question, was this permissible for Yaakov to do? The answer is, absolutely, says Rabbeinu Bahai, certainly it was. Why? Because at the end of the day, he's received instructions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do so. Fine. The bigger question that we must ask is, what is this very mysterious, cryptic parasha teaching us? The sticks, the shades, the speckles, the white, the Torah and Rashi, as we just mentioned, go into great detail on how we peel the sticks, etc., etc. What are we to learn from this parasha? And clearly, as we mentioned in the beginning, there must be lessons to be learned, because otherwise the Torah would need no need to mention this story in the first place. So I'd like to share with you, in the short time that we have, perhaps two or three ideas mentioned in the Mefarshim that we can learn from in this strange episode of the Makkos. Rabbeinu Bachai, as we just mentioned, said that clearly this was miraculous. This was amazing. And the question, therefore, that needs to be asked was, if indeed it was all miraculous, so why did Yaakov have to go through the whole operation of setting up the sticks in the first place? HaKadosh Baruch Hu surely has plenty of ways that he can send Yaakov an abundance of sheep in exactly the right shape, speckled, spotted, striped, colored. Why did Yaakov have to go through the whole process of setting up the sheep with the sticks, etc., in the first place? So he has a couple of explanations, but what I'd like to share with you is a very profound lesson. Rabbeinu Bachai says, in order that the nace, which ultimately, as mentioned before, it was indeed miraculous, but it should come about through non-miraculous means. It was very important, apparently, and this is what Yaakov Avinu and the Torah is teaching us, that when a miracle is performed, it should come about not in absolute miraculous fashion. And therefore, even though we all know at the end of the day it was a nace, but there has to be at least what seems to be an element of teva, such that in theory this could all be explained al pi darkei hateva. One could in fact learn the parasha and understand, or perhaps misunderstand, that this was all teva, there was no Yad Hashem involved whatsoever, and it was all Yaakov's very clever orchestrating of events that eventually brought him about tremendous wealth. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, that's why Yaakov Avinu had to go through this process, because he felt it was important to some extent to cover up the miracle. What does that mean? Why would you need to cover up a miracle? What is that teaching us? And I think that this is a principle that the Sefer HaChinuch mentions in Parashat Tzav. The Torah writes in Parashat Tzav that there is a mitzvah to light a fire on the Mizbeach, with the obvious question being that don't Chazal teach us that a fire descended from heaven and arrived on the Mizbeach anyway? So the Sefer HaChinuch addresses this question, and he says, you must realize that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs miracles, however great they are, even the greatest miracles of them all, that they are always done with an element of teva. So even though, of course, the fire landed from Shemayim on the Mizbeach, but it was type of concealed by the fact that a physical Esh Gashmi was lit and put on the Mizbeach as well. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, there is no greater miracle perhaps in our history than that of Kriyas Yam Suf. But if you look carefully in the Torah, what is the introduction to Kriyas Yam Suf? It says there, Vayoylech Hashem Ruach Azon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up an extremely strong wind. What was that wind for? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, same principle. Even though Kriyas Yam Suf was undoubtedly a miracle, but there too, there was an element of teva, such that, in theory, somebody reading the Torah could easily say, perhaps it was just a very windy day, an extremely windy day, such that the waters split into two as a result of natural forces. If you look into it, and you miss my name, of course, you will understand it was a nice gully. But there has to be that element of teva. That is the principle of the Sefer HaChinuch. And the reason why this is the case explains the Nira Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Shmulevitz is that even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us open miracles, there always has to be an element of one's own avodah to be megala that nes. A nes, after all, is there for us to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But nothing is a freebie. Even a nace has to be worked upon a little bit to understand, to appreciate the magnitude of the nace. And therefore, even Kriyas Yam Tov, you need to put your mind to it. You need to be a mitzvah, because if you're not, and you just read the story superficially, you will come to the incorrect, erroneous conclusion. It was all teva. There was a mighty wind that day. The fire on the Mizbeach, it was all teva. They put a fire there anyway. Even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu produces nisim, there always has to be the element of our own personal input, our own amelos, to be megale that nis. To be megale that nis. And this is a very, very important lesson for us. When we learn the Torah, for example, the parashiyos of the Dor HaMidbar, and we get stuck, how can it be, famous question, that the Dor that was zeicha to see miracle after miracle, and they complain about this, they complain about that, they have a hate of the Meraglim. And the Moshe Feinstein explains, because it all came about too easily for them. They saw nisim. And when your emunah is based on nisim, then it's rather shallow. A person's emunah cannot be based on nisim. If it's all too easy, and it's presented to me on a plate, then my emunah becomes very, very shallow and superficial. And when I'm knocked off my feet, all of a sudden I find that I don't really have a solid standing anymore. That's why, even when a miracle is shown, is performed for Klal Yisrael, there needs to be the element of, how do I have to be omel to be megale that nes? It cannot come about too easily. People sometimes say, Hashem should show me a sign. If only I would be privy to open miracles, how I would turn about my life. It's not true. A nes that comes all too easily leaves you very superficially connected to the Rabbi Yishalem. When it comes about through one's own avodah, that is a far deeper connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Such that even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs the most open, the greatest of miracles, but he always leaves an element of mistake. He always leaves, as it were, room for doubt. You could in theory explain away Kriyas Yam Tov as saying it was a very windy day. You could explain away the Eish on the Mizbeach, well, they put a fire there anyway. There has to be a connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, which is forged through one's own avodah. And coming back, therefore, to this strange-looking episode of the Makkos, Rabbeinu Bachai is teaching us the same principle. That even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had specifically told Yaakov in this Chalom, through the Malach, to that he's going to be zeicha to this abundance of sheep, bracha, in miraculous fashion, he nonetheless felt it necessary to be massive to conceal in some way the miracle. What did that teach us? It teaches us the principle that we just mentioned. Our emunah, our connection to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, cannot and must not be based on open miracles. Meister Ovois Simon Labonim. Whatever happened to the Ovois is indicative, is a lesson to what happens to us. And this, in the opinion of Rabbeinu Bachai, is one of the lessons to be learned from this parasha. Yes, Yaakov Avinu knew that he was going to be the recipient of a tremendous bracha in miraculous fashion. And he nonetheless ensured that it would come about slightly in a way that could be explained the Darkei HaTeva. For whose benefit? For our benefit. We are the studiers of the Torah. And if the Torah goes to great lengths to teach us this story, then this clearly is one of the limudim that we can indeed learn from this particular Maaseh. Another lesson that can be learned from this parasha is a yesod that we've mentioned a number of times. A crucial yesod, fundamental lesson taught to us by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky when learning these parashiyos. Yaakov Avinu, after all, is the semel, the paradigm of emes. Titein emes liYaakov. Have we ever stopped to wonder why is it that there are so many stories in the Torah concerning Yaakov Avinu's life that seem on the surface to be anything but emes? The Makleis, the story that we're busy dealing with tonight, a classic case in point. It doesn't seem to be the epitome of emes to have an arrangement with Lavan, which sheep are going to be yours, and then you set up the Makleis like that in order to make sure that the abundance of sheep will indeed be yours. That's emes. Yaakov Avinu, the way he manages to procure the Bechor from Esau, the way he manages to take the Brachas from Yitzchok. Now it's true, Chazal HaKadoshim tell us, this is the Rashi of the Sefer's Makos, that Rivka Imenu, when she told Yaakov to take the Brachas, she was told to do so by Ruach HaKodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told her to do it. So, let there not be a mistake. Nobody is doubting. Nobody is questioning what right they had to do so. Yaakov Avinu, via Rivka, was told directly by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But that doesn't answer our question. Why indeed? What lesson is there to be learned by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, albeit he instructed Yaakov to take the brachas in this way, but why indeed in this way? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have arranged that the brachas would end up with Yaakov Avinu in 1,001 other different ways. Why on earth did it need to come about in a manner which seems to be the opposite of emes? The opposite of emes. And the answer is, says the Yaakov Kamenetsky, that the nisyonos, the trials and tribulations that the Ovos faced, always had to be precisely in the middle that they excelled in. Not despite, but because of. Avraham Avinu, for example, who is the paradigm of Chesed, his nisoyon must be exactly in the area of Chesed. Are you able to do the opposite of Chesed? Purely because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told you to do so. Are you able to shecht your beloved son Yitzchak on the Mizbeach? That's the opposite of Chesed. Are you able to drive out your son Yishmael from your own home? That is the opposite of Chesed. Are you able to do a Lech Lecha, just abandon your father and his family? That's the opposite of Chesed. precisely the Zuriat of Kamenetsky. It is not a Nisoyin, Hachnosas Orchim was not considered a Nisoyin for Avraham Avinu, that was his middle. Is he able to do the opposite? That's a Nisoyin. Are you able to go against your nature? Are you able to be Nisgaber over the middle that you excel in purely because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do? And if you are the Amud HaChesed, let me see you demonstrate the ability to do the opposite of Chesed, because that is the Rotzayim Hashem. The Yaakov Kamenetsky, exactly the same, is true also with Yaakov Avinu. We ask, surely he's a paradigm of Chesed. Why is he involved in so many stories which seem to be the opposite of Chesed? The question is in fact the answer. Precisely. Hogufa. Precisely because Yaakov Avinu is the Amud of Emet, that's why his Nesyonis must be, are you able to do what seems on the surface to be the opposite of Emet? Why? Because that's what the Rebbein Shoyim wants. Taking away the brachis from Esau, says of Yaakov Kamenetsky, is, as it were, Yaakov Avinu's great Akedah. Can you literally fly in the face of Emes, which is your Midah, which is your Avodah, because this is the Ratzon Hashem? And if that's the case, then we understand that that true, too, is also a fundamental limud of the story of the Matlois in our parasha.